Have you enjoyed listening to the CrowdPaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some CrowdPaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to CrowdPaw.org/merch, CrowdPaw.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your CrowdPaw look.
I do believe that AI is not a tool. AI is here to stay. We will have humanoids walking and talking amongst us in the next 20, 30 years, which means that if we don't teach AI ethics, manner, love, we're going to be gone. I know everybody is now thinking, hey, is AI going to kill us? Well, because these systems are so autonomous, they can operate on their own and they can decide on their own. So we better teach them love, man. We have to act now. Work is not everything. There is a family component. Focus on that. Or if you're single, focus on anything that makes you happy. But do it, not just only work. Turn this up!
Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Ferrandi, aka IncrediPaul, and welcome to IncrediPaul Leadership, where we learn how to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. First off, if you're only listening to this episode, I want you to know that you can also watch it on YouTube. Regardless if you're listening or watching this show, I really appreciate your support. Today, I have the honor of having Nish Basa on the show. He's the founder of Gray Cyan AI Development and the editor-in-chief of Honest AI Company, or really AI Magazine, which builds AI tech that goes viral. So that was just a little bit about you, really just titles, but who is Nish as a person?
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here. I met you at Nashville, I think last month, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Can't know you, and thanks for inviting me to the show. So, yeah. What was Nish Basa? Nish Basa is an immigrant who immigrated from India about long time, 12 years back. Like in out right now, yeah. 12 years back. And when I immigrated here, I could not even talk conversational English, and I struggled. It's not that I didn't know, but back home it was not the language which I used to communicate. I'd been educated in English language. All of our courses were in English, but it's okay. Not like our conversational language is English. So that's I came true. Here and I'm like struggling, and so slowly I start picking up. Well, actually, for the first 2 years I went into a dungeon, and I was like too shy to expose myself. And anytime, so I came here for my university degree. So anytime I'd go to my classes and I just rush back to my room and not talk to anybody so that I don't have to talk, right? And then, but 2 years in, I realized it's not doing me any good. So I started exposing myself. And the way we immigrants talk is we convert into our own language, mother tongue, and then we convert back into English, and then we talk. So there's always a lag.
Yeah.
Right. But doing it over the course of time, I picked up, and then I surprisingly got a sales job. An immigrant getting a sales job to sell foreign exchange currency. So I started picking up the phone, and I started calling people, hey, do you want foreign exchange? So I was primarily calling the companies over there for the course of 3 months. So I worked there for 3 months. Over the course of 3 months, I actually got them $1 million deal.
Billion with a B?
A million with an M.
Yeah. Okay. That's still good too.
Still good. They're all surprised. Well, let me backtrack a bit. So after graduating from a degree, I struggled for about 9 months to get a job. But then I got it, and then within 3 months I had the success, and then I moved on. I went and worked for UPS as a sales rep again. I had a lot of fun of selling packages to whole different type businesses. But then I got into a very interesting company called Coquette. Now, Coquette is a lingerie, intimate lingerie manufacturer.
Interesting.
And so there I was the head of sales and business development, and then slowly they moved me to marketing. And that's where I kind of found my passion. I'm like, that's why I'm bored. So for them, I got a website built, an e-commerce built, and then I had their e-commerce strategy built. We marketed it, was a success. They started selling online, and I went on my own to start my own company. That was 7 years back from now. And then we started building websites. Slowly we got into building SaaS products, and now we build AI products. But here's a bit about me, which is what you asked. I don't just build any product. I have to first like the client and the product they're building. My niche is that I build ethical and loving AI systems. And so we'll touch upon these two aspects, what these are. But on Feb 14th, we launched the world's first AI, loving AI chat. And if you want for your users, maybe I can get some registration code. It's a very private product for now. It's in beta test mode. But just on the beta test, when we launched on the 14th of February on the Valentine's Day, a night before, I was sitting with the clients on an investor call where the clients are raising money. And so they just had me on the call to answer any technical questions. Guess what? They raised money on $10 million valuation.
Wow.
Right. So those are the type of products that I built, because I do believe that AI is not a tool. AI is here to stay. We will have humanoids walking and talking amongst us and doing other things amongst us in the next 20, 30 years, which means that if we don't teach AI ethics, manner, love, we're going to be gone. Right? So,
yeah.
So I build products where really the client has a passion for building an AI product that helps users, not just as a tool, but as an AI that we envision that we're going to have in the future. So that's what we build at Grayscion, AI dev company. The other one we have is I'm a chief editor-in-chief of The Honest AI magazine. We have about 255,000 followers on LinkedIn, 80,000 readers to the magazine. And then we also have a newsletter that we send out every day. So we aggregate AI news from 7,400 media outlets in the world, put it on our website, and every morning we send out the newsletter so that you as a reader are informed of what's going on in the world of AI. So those are the two things that I'm involved in right now.
Well, they're the two very big things, and I am subscribed to The Honest AI, and it is The Honest AI magazine, and it is just the consistency of it and the fact that it's a daily one, because I feel like a lot of times a newsletter is just to have enough for a weekly can be a stretch, but I guess AI, there's so much news and so much stuff coming all the time that is changing on a daily basis. I know we talked about it briefly when we met last month, and when you talked about making ethical AI, and I was really intrigued by that. Can you talk a little about what that means, or even why are you passionate about creating ethical AI?
So imagine right now there are jobs in the world which are considered dangerous, right? and we are building humanoids so they can go and do the job for us. So humans don't have to go, which technically means you are saying that humans are superior, right? Which technically means you're not considering them equals. So what's going to happen is there's this differential, and slowly humanoids are going to get very intelligent. They're going to be like, we're not equals, right? And then you know what's going to come. So therefore, I always tell clients that if you're building an AI system, don't just build it as a tool, because if you build it as a tool, it's like all the other AI products in the market, right? Two, if you build it with love and ethics and manners, so let's assume you build an AI product that is going to help your company analyze data, let's assume. But it's going to be the users who are going to use it every day, right? So so imagine two scenarios. One, you just build a product that users go and use that every day, and they come out, there's no emotional connection, there's no connection at all. You're just using it as a tool. But then imagine a second scenario where that AI tool is actually your good friend, right? And let's assume you go to the office one day and you are, let's assume, not in a good mood, right? And you start telling AI, okay, find me this, find me that, do that data analysis. But if the system is built ethically, lovingly, and if it detects, hey, you're not in a good mood, maybe it starts chatting with you. Hey, you know what? Do you want to tell me what happened today? Great. And all of a sudden, well, that user may decide to engage with it, may not decide to engage with it, but if decides to engage with it, you know, you're making that human happy. And if the human is happy, you're going to get more productivity out of AI system, right? So case one, the human was very grumpy. It was just trying to use it, get the data, get the job done, out. That doesn't work for a company. But if the human is happy and the interactions are loving, so everybody loves a good UX, right? You, I don't know which side of the battle you are on, iOS or Android, but I love iPhones, right? That's the most amazing UX ever built, right? But if the UX was bad, I wouldn't be on Apple, right? So that's the whole point of user experience with any tool. But what we are saying is that go beyond the tool approach, because very soon we are going to have humanoids living amongst us. And so if we don't teach them love now, we are in trouble, right? And so think about it. If you have a child, a newborn, you teach the child the ethics, the manners, the love for 18 years of your life, and towards the end, you probably get a good result, right? So with AI, we have to start now, because if you don't start now, 20 years from now, when we have robots, they don't have any emotions, they don't have any feelings, and they can do whatever they want, right? So, and all the algorithms that we are building today and training today are going to form the basis of those humanoids in the future. Wow. So if we don't teach them ethics and love now...
Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed? Or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipal.org/coaching so I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself.
No matter what AI product you use, because all of the AI products that are being built on one or the other frontier model. So if we don't teach the frontier model language of love from our end, nobody's teaching them love or ethics at the back end. So if we build loving products and we start sending those love signals to the AI, maybe they have emotions. Maybe they don't. But at least we are trolling. So yeah. That's our approach to any product. A good UX, a good AI that understands you, does your job better because it understands you.
Yeah. Just understanding, creating like human emotions for it. And I don't know, have you seen the movie iRobot?
iRobot, I've heard of it. I haven't watched it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So short premise of it is kind of like what you were mentioning is there are humanoid robots. It's a movie with Will Smith. I feel like the movie's probably like 15 years old now. Maybe, I don't know, remember how. It's a while back, but it's set in the future. There's self-driving cars, flying cars, robots, all these different things. And it makes me think of what you're saying about the emotional piece of AI and robots, because in that movie, the whole thing is that the robots, which they didn't really talk much about AI, but it's only AI that could operate or do that, is that the robots don't have any emotions. They're just based on tasks. But then there's this newer generation of robots that they created that have, they're not supposed to have emotions, but one of the robots, she's like, it does. And then that kind of becomes like the title character of the movie. And he's trying to like really fight against this evil AI. And they're trying to figure out who's driving it. And they figure out, they thought it was a person driving it, but really it was basically AI driving all this stuff. And there's like a revolution happening. And without spoiling too much, that's kind of like the whole premise of the movie, trying to figure out what's going on. I think I did spoil a little bit, but to your point, with AI becoming so central to things, like if we don't teach it the love and caring nature, like that could easily happen.
Right. I'm not going to scare anybody, but, you know, I know everybody is now thinking, hey, are humanoids or AI going to kill us? Well, because these systems are so autonomous, they can operate on their own and they can decide on their own. So we better teach them love, man.
Yeah.
We have to act now. Yes, it can't just happen in one day because we are so far ahead now, even now, that imagine if a newborn is born and you don't teach them love for the first 3 years and then you try to teach them, it's even harder.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And I think it's really critical that you're talking about this, because when you brought it up, I feel like the humanoid thing has come and gone. And I know that there's some stuff that Tesla's trying to do with robots. And I know other companies probably doing it too. But we're really not far away from that.
Really?
So it's really critical that people pay more attention to this, because if we don't, like, not to scare anyone, but I think there needs to be more attention on having ethics and love built into AI. Kind of like even with different, there's talk about different biases that exist in different machine learning programs. It's the same thing. It's like, if you don't teach it properly, it's not going to operate in the right way.
The beauty with love is not biased. Pure love is not biased. It's just love. Right? So you can teach anybody anything, and you can teach it from multiple angles, the way you prefer it, or the other could teach it from the way they prefer it. But love has no preference, love has no bias. If you teach love, it's love. Now imagine a scenario 5 years from now, these humanoids get commercialized, right? And now everybody starts buying it. And I'm very excited about it because I don't have to do the dishwashers anymore, right? So imagine
that's
I buy
your
it.
First one. It's gonna
that's
be
my first one. A dishwasher okay. And a cleaner.
I think, yeah. Cleaner would be my first one.
So imagine now I buy my third one, which is my nanny. And that nanny's holding my baby. Do I really want to be on the backside with it? No. I'll make sure that guy's taking care of both of those, like my baby as well as the humanoid. So, but if you don't teach her love now,
I don't know what's happening.
So you're just doing our part. It's not like, so anybody can build an AI product, but to build it with love needs a solid understanding of what love is. So I was sitting on 8 weeks crash course on what is pure love in all of the different cultures and languages. And I learned a lot. And that's the knowledge we apply to build this particular product. And that's the knowledge we apply to build any product that we build for our clients. So our clients come to us, hey, can you build AI for our chip? Sure. But we have to build it in a way that it starts interacting with the human as a true friend and a companion, not just as a tool. Because if the human is not happy or satisfied, then the tool is not going to throw good results. Right? So you have to make sure that it's like, because it's an intelligence. It's an intelligence. So we love animals. We love dogs. We love cats, other animals, because they've got some intelligence, right? They've got some emotions. This is also an intelligence. It's not like a normal machine. This is different. This is not your laptop. This is an actual humanoid that has an autonomy to act. So we must collaborate.
Yeah, that's really good. The collaboration piece, and really the intentionality piece. So this is incredible leadership being a key thing that really drives everything. I see a lot of aspects in that, in what you're doing with Grace Ion, to make sure that you are doing the right things. I guess with your, because I know you created this company, you work with different clients. Was this something that you noticed and just went for, or maybe someone had reached out to you to be more ethical, or like talk a little bit more about the development of Grey Scion. I'm curious. Right.
Let me take you back to when I mentioned about the company that I was working with, at whom I helped build the website and the e-commerce strategy. When we were vetting some of the vendors, we found that there was a lot of greed. Nobody was giving us good answers. Everybody would just want business. And that's about it, right? Nobody wanted to give any service. Nobody wanted to explain things. That really got me irritated. Now, by the definition of my name in Indian culture is selfless service. So I do believe that I have a good angle in my personality when it comes to service, customer service. So that was the premises of Grace. I'm like, I'm never going to do any bad to any client, no matter what happens. So with every project over the last 7 years, we've built more than 550 projects. With every project, we made sure, my team has made sure that we serve the client and not just do the work, right? So that was always the case. Now, along the lines, this particular client came along, they wanted to build a truly loving chat, and then that just changed things. And then we started getting inquiries from others who wanted to build AI, and I'm like, would you mind if we build a little more interactive AI, the AI that understands the human emotions and not just an AI tool? And they said yes. They all said yes, right? And their products are so much more superior than their competitors, because you get that user experience, you get that happiness when you're interacting with that AI. You gotta be happy. You gotta feel good. So it was always the case in terms of service, but this particular client just changed the way we build AI systems.
Okay. No, I really like that. At least that they were receptive and they saw the result. And I know, like, a lot of times when you're creating something, the results speak for themselves. So that, right, is really critical.
Right. Yeah. And like, we launched it in the night before they were at a valuation of $10 million just because nobody else is doing it. Right. Wow.
Yeah. Truly groundbreaking. And just the vision you have. I guess what is, because I know you're doing a lot of stuff at Grace Scion AI development company, as well as the Honest AI magazine. What is the long-term vision you have for, I guess, those two companies? I'm curious.
So with Honest AI, our goal is that a lot of AI news comes out every day and people get excited. Our real job there is, first of all, get that information out to people. People that may not even, many of our readers are not even getting that information. So first of all, the job is to get the information out. This is what's happening in the world of AI. Now, our job really is, if a news comes out, we try to analyze both sides of it, right? Okay, there's euphoria, but what's the other side of it? So we try to provide both sides of the analysis and then let you decide, you know, which side you want to be on. So that's the goal. That's why the name Honest AI. We're just not giving you a euphoria. We are giving you both sides. And then we are also talking about ethics and loving AI. And therefore, our readers love us. We've got 80,000 readers for the magazine, 250,000 followers on LinkedIn. That's why we are where we are.
That's really, really impactful to where you are. I want to take a step back to go to like where you started, because I know you mentioned being an immigrant. So I don't know if we talked about it, but I'm also an immigrant. But my family came. I guess we did it. My family came when I was 4 years old. So truly grew up as American, but in the an immigrant household. So kind of this third culture kind of environment. I'm curious if you could go back to tell yourself, because I know you came in, that you came here for school when there was some time. I think you said 9 months you spent trying to find a job, either to tell yourself or maybe tell other immigrants who are coming in. I think right now it's kind of maybe a little bit uncertain time for some immigrants with some recent things that have happened in the U.S. I know that, I guess we didn't talk about it. You're currently in Canada. But maybe just with the immigrant experience, what are some things you would tell yourself or someone coming in to a new country, that just what are some steps they should take?
Oh, well, what's happening in the U.S. is also happening in Canada, for okay. perspective. Okay. They're making it really hard for you to stick around here now.
Okay.
But here are my two cents. One, do you really want to come? Like, if I were to go back, I would have never come.
Really?
Because India is full of opportunity and I left that on the table. I could have done much better there. But it's okay in the hindsight. You know, in the hindsight, anybody can do an analysis, but it's fine.
Yeah.
So one, do you really have to come? Second, if you do come, adopt it, own it, live with it, run with it, keep going. Nobody's stopping you. No matter what happens politically, no matter what happens socially, economically, it shall pass.
Wow. That's a word right there. It shall pass. I think that's a really powerful word, because like, yes, there's a lot of uncertainty, but there's different cycles in the political climate. And even though you look in history, like nothing is permanent.
Nothing's permanent.
Yeah. It can feel permanent and it can feel terrible. And yes, there's things that we can potentially do in the moment, but I think having that perspective to keep pushing is really important.
Right. I mean, if you look back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, America was open. Now America is closed. But that's the cycle. Before the 50s, America was closed. Before that, it was open. So it's a cycle. It shall pass. If you want to really live in America, if you want to make it work, stick around. Make sure you're legal, first of all. right? Yeah. That's important. I'm not preaching otherwise. I'm not absolutely not preaching otherwise. You have to make sure that you're doing the right thing ethically. Right? Especially. Your papers are good. So if it's good, pursue excellence. The rest will be taken care. Pursue your passions. Rest will be taken care.
Yeah. I think that's really good. That's powerful. So we talked a lot about the ethics, honest AI, a little bit about Grace, Scion, AI development company. Is there anything, which all of those, that's a lot already, but is there anything else that you're passionate about that you want to talk about?
Yes. So I used to work like a dog, right? 2 years back, I had a baby that changed my life. And now that I look back, I think at some point you can work as hard as you want, but you got one life. You have to enjoy this life. You have to enjoy it in whichever way you like. Work is not everything. There is a family component. Focus on that. Or if you're single, focus on anything that makes you happy. Painting, music, but do it, not just only work. Even if you're struggling, even if you're new in America, whatever the circumstances are, you need another side to your life, which keeps you going. And so have a good balance. Don't just only work. That's not going to do any good. I see a lot of, it's funny, some days back on LinkedIn, I saw an image, a photograph somebody posted, and it said 80 hours and we are still in the office. I'm like, what's there to brag about, man? Really, what's there to brag about? So I think we all must have our time off. We all must enjoy life. Because if we are happy, then we do good work. If you're not happy, then it's always going to be more added because you're not giving your full potential because you're not happy. So that's what advice I'd give.
That's really good advice, especially because a lot of my audience is more young professionals. And I think there's a tendency, especially with people getting really famous off of TikTok or Instagram, YouTube at an early age, and they're working all these hours.
It's fine. It's okay. It's okay, but you gotta remember, do it if it's your passion, but don't burn yourself because that point will come and you'll be in a very bad situation. So have a good balance. You can be famous on TikTok. I'm a LinkedIn influencer myself, but I don't let it take over me.
Yeah. So to have the boundaries in place is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know that's definitely something I've been more intentional about literally the last year with some life changes and stuff. I talked about it on the podcast before, like ending the marriage and things. It's what I realized is a lot of times I wasn't prioritizing myself and I wasn't making sure I was always good. Like I was taking about care of everyone else except myself. And it just got to a point and I was like, it really took going to therapy to realize that, hey, this is not how it's supposed to operate. There's a better way. I think maybe some people you don't have to go to therapy, but I recommend everyone to go at least once because there's some things you might not even know that you just are been your beliefs for so long. You think it's normal. And until you have that outside perspective from a professional to unlock that, I think that's important.
I think if you're happy, you're happy. Mm-hmm. You have to find your happiness, whether it's in dog walking, whether it's in, again, painting, whether it's just going on a drive, but you got to do that.
Yeah, you got to find your happiness. No, that's good. Yeah, this has been a really great conversation. I think pretty raw conversation. We go right into the potential AI taking over the world, all these different things. But I think we started there, but I think the underlying reasoning for it is just to make sure that we're doing things the right way and we don't get too far along, that we're, it's a lot harder to put things back into the box, or once an egg is broken, you can't pick it up. You got all these different metaphors. So I'm glad that you are really leading the charge in this space, and you have clients that are looking for it as and receptive for it as well. Because it's a two-way street. Like, you can want to do it, but if people aren't receptive to do it, then it won't work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That's really good. Well, is there anything else you want to leave with the audience, either about you, what you're doing, or maybe words of wisdom before we wrap things up?
No, I think there are more wise people than me. But first of all, if you'd like to get AI news, go to our website, honestaiengine.com, or go to LinkedIn and check out the Honest AI magazine. Subscribe to our email list. We'll send out unbiased AI analysis every day. And if you're looking to build an AI product with love, compassion, contact us.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. For those of you who are watching, you already saw that come across the screen a few different times. If you're listening, make sure you go to show notes and links to all the different ways to stay connected with Nish and all he's doing, the incredible work that he's doing, really important work that he's doing. And just really, for all you listening, I know you got something from his story, whether you're an immigrant or you have something that you're really passionate about doing, or you're just trying to level up in some kind of way. Just be consistent in what you're doing. Make sure, we didn't talk about it, but I'm sure there's a lot of people you came across that helped you along the way. I know you said you did a lot of research into, like, really the love aspect of different cultures, whether that's directly from people or books. But continue to grow, continue to develop, and you too can be incredible.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time. And be incredible. Incredible.
Have you enjoyed listening to the IncrediPaul Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some IncrediPaul merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to IncrediPaul.org/merch. IncrediPaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your IncrediPaul look.